of the princess is lost to history. Lost forever, though during your reign you will devote vast resources to trying to find some trace of her, this girl, who you can see in your dreams sometimes, her upper half in sleeping repose with a hand outstretched toward the water's edge, her lower half a blur of shit and gore. But the son was called Nivalis, and immortalized himself by founding a city on the bank of the river where he was born. He called the city Nivala. This is you, part and parcel, blood and brick, soul and city, forever intertwined. There is another story. One of a brigand's camp that swelled over time with plundered wealth, and of a first generation born through kidnap and rape. But that story is whispered, not inscribed in stone. Ball's End. He shook her awake at dawn.
Kirby! Kirby! Wake up!
She blinked at the darkness and was taken over by a spasm of panic.
Blaine? What's wrong? Are we...
The sentence trailed off, but her mind supplied the options.
On fire? In trouble? Under attack?
But the room was peaceful, and the only smoke she could smell was a warm, fragrant scent coming from the fire pit, where last night's kindling was still edged in amber. She could just make out the shape of their ma's sleeping body, broad hips and shoulders under the blanket, gently swelling foothills.
Get dressed quickly. What?
Her fear cooled into suspicion.
Why are we whispering? I found something.
She propped herself up on her elbows.
Can't you show me later?
But the irritation was feigned. She could tell he was excited. It was infectious.
I can't explain now,
he said.
You just gotta see. Come on, I'll be waiting outside.
Sighing, but quietly, to not disturb their ma, she got up, pulling on a shirt and boots and wrapping herself up tight in her cloak. The house was warm as a lung, and she winced when she stepped into the cool air outside. Uncertain snuffling sounds came from the pig pen, layered with the last verse of the dawn chorus, bright insistence against the early lull. Mist kissed Kirby's skin, and Dew reached up and pressed clammy hands into her boots. She shivered and stomped.
Belaine, I'm cold. Get moving, then,
he replied, bouncing impatiently on his heels. He was 15, a year her senior, and looked somehow older and younger than his age in the uncanny way boys did around that time.
It'll be worth it,
he said, noticing her glare.
Promise.
With one last shake of the head, she fell into step behind him. The village of Wall's End did not lie at the end of the wall. Not quite, anyway. A little ways past the furthest building, the old wall faded, crumbling in a V-shaped break that allowed safe passage on foot to the ruined city beyond. A few paces on, it picked up again, rising almost to its former glory, and continued brokenly down to the distant sea. The village itself, sleeping still, though it wouldn't for long, was only small, a determined huddle of houses, some freestanding, some leaning against the enormous wall that gave the village its name, cobbled out of stone and timber, and useful parts plucked from the debris. At the center was a place where they kept the wall bare. A small shrine lay there, half-melted candles fusing with the altar before a wicker lightness of the sun.